Hi, everyone. We're at Miami Boat Show. So a little bit of atmosphere in the background, which never hurts. It's always good to feel really in the moment. I have gentlemen that are going to talk to me here. I am standing with Dan Wright, because I'm going to get him to give you his title, because it's a long one.
The Senior Category Manager of Electrification. Yes, it's a mouthful.
Hi, I'm Brandon Circa. I'm the General Manager of Sales and Marketing.
My name is Jason Stimmel. I'm the Department Manager for the Suzuki Marine Technical Center, USA.
Chief of Technology, Grant Suzuki of Yamaha Marine, USA. Grant, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Nikki.
See, that's why I needed them to introduce themselves. Fairly lengthy titles there. So great to have you here, guys. Hi, and welcome to the Boat Princess podcast. My name is Nikki Vo, and I'm your host. I am a boat owner, a marina owner, a director on the Marina Industries Association, and a huge advocate for boating. In this series, I'm sharing the stories from every nook of the boating industry with the intention of encouraging more women to join me and for more women to get behind the helm too. I want to share the experience and opportunities of boating, of the boating industry, and I want you to join me as I bring the conversations and answer all the questions you've had. Boating is not just for the glamorous and rich and famous. It's full of beautiful and interesting people, making the most of our natural environment and getting out there, enjoying the waterways. So let's let off the lines, take over the helm, and escape to the world of boating. So following on from our interesting interviews with Darren Vo, President Icomia, and Jeff Wazzle from NMMA about the different things that are happening in the world of decarbonisation in the marine industry, this interview is a series of interviews talking to the main outboard marine engine manufacturers in the industry, and they are Mercury Marine, Suzuki Marine, and Yamaha Marine. So this is held at Miami Boat Show, so you'll find some fantastic atmosphere going on in the background, but it was wonderful to have all of those experts in the room at the same time to talk to them about what the developments they're making and the changes they're making in their companies to help with the environmental piece from the marine industry and towards that decarbonisation, and just having a real focus on what they're doing for the environment and the difference they're making. I hope you enjoy it. Hi, everyone. We are on the Suzuki stand at Miami Boat Show. So a little bit of atmosphere in the background, which never hurts. It's always good to feel really in the moment. I have two gentlemen that are going to talk to me here. I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Brandon Circa. I'm the General Manager of Sales and Marketing.
My name is Jason Stimmel. I'm the Department Manager for the Suzuki Marine Technical Center, USA.
See, that's why I needed them to introduce themselves. Fairly lengthy titles there. So great to have you here, guys. Suzuki have been making some real progress in the whole decarbonisation space and just working towards the future for a better one for all boaters, because we're also concerned about our beautiful environment that we boat in. So, Brandon, give me some idea of what Suzuki have been up to.
So one of the big pushes that we have at Suzuki is our Clean Ocean project, and it really encompasses everything. I mean, we want to clean up, you know, do beach cleanups. You know, we want to change from plastic packaging to actually environmentally friendly, sustainable packaging. And also, like, on our engines, to where they can do stuff for the environment with our clean, you know, our microplastic collecting device, but really just clean up the environment. What we also notice is that one of the big pushes we're having now is for, like, electrification, hydrogen. And with us, it's really like really taking stuff and doing, what can we do with eco-gen fuel? You know, like when we did a run from Jacksonville, Florida, all the way up to the Capitol with eco-gen fuel to see what that looks like. And, you know, Jason actually was the one that his team actually planned everything out, did all the numbers, collected all the data. And so I think it's really good to start with that, to talk about that eco-gen run.
So Jason, tell us about that.
Yes, for the MMMA American Boating Congress, May of 23, we decided to show the politicians that we can reduce CO2 in the 12 million registered vessels out there today. One nice thing, this particular fuel that we use was from VP Racing. It's called EcoGen 93. It was blended with a substance called Ideal EMP. It's a partial renewable that you can blend over ethanol. So we can go up to 17% with a blend compared to ethanol. And the nice thing is on this trip over 940 miles, we reduced CO2 by 15.4% over pump gas. So today we could put this in the infrastructure and it would be a drop in fuel and would reduce that carbon footprint on over 12 million registered vessels.
And this is the really important message we need to get to the politicians, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That are setting the regulations, that we have a big fleet and we need to look after that fleet and get that sorted really quickly, and that will make a massive difference. So yeah, these fuels are incredibly important for that process.
Absolutely. And yes, with between the lobbying, the political, the marinas bringing it in, these are all key aspects to the infrastructure. And then Linda Basal makes the Ideal EMP partial renewable. And the nice thing is it can be blended to low octane gasoline. So you can take an 83 blend and blend it right up to 90, 93 with the Ideal product.
And for the marinas, they can literally drop it in the tanks they've already got.
That is correct. There's no changes to the pumps. And a question I get asked all the time when you guys made this huge journey, you changed the engine, you changed the calibration. And I can definitively tell you it was a production engine. There was not one change to the computer. It was as it was running on conventional pump gas.
So the performance of the engine was exactly the same?
That is correct. And the team in Japan actually verified that there was no performance degradation.
And the range was the same and everything?
Yes.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So Suzuki has obviously done a lot of work over recent years as well in terms of fuel efficiency. And I think that's another message we need to get through to our listeners, that it's not just now. Suzuki have been doing a lot of work for a lot of years in the past. Can you tell us what sort of efficiencies have improved over those years?
Well, I mean, I think we also have to remember we are an auto company. So when we have the auto company, they're actually heading the project more than anything. I mean, efficiency is anywhere from, let's just talk about like the packaging that they're doing, right? So anything, what they're trying to do is sustainable crate packaging. So any of the cardboard that they put on it, it has biodegradable ink. So yeah, the cardboard can break down, but at least the ink's not gonna be harmful. You know, you can pick that up. When they put like the plastic, it's not plastic anymore. It's actually biomass, 100% biomass derived polymer. So that breaks down. One of the things I've learned with just kind of heading the Clean Ocean Project and being a part of that is like plastic does not break down. It just keeps rubbing. That's where you get microplastics. That's probably the biggest, sometimes the efficiency of what we're looking at is how do you change from using all the plastic to something that can be sustainable, renewable, recyclable? And I think that's really important for us. And packaging is a huge, huge thing. I mean, we've reduced over 3 million pounds of plastic packaging just by switching from plastic to paper. You know, on our engines, we have on the top of the cowlings, the biodegradable woven fabric. So again, it's not plastic anymore. So they've really been efficiently, creating, how do we sustain all this, be more sustainable as a company, to the point where, they're doing it on the auto side. They're doing it on the motorcycle power sport side. And the best part is we're in the marine side, so we see it more because of the water, but the whole company's doing it as a whole. And that's where some of the research that we're lucky enough with the marine side is that they've already done it for the auto side. And we have to remember, auto is so much ahead, more advanced than we are. And we're actually starting to catch up. You're really seeing with the technology, the marine side's really starting to catch up. And that's where I've seen the growth at.
Totally agree with that. The cars, lead the way, don't they? And then the marine industry kind of follows.
Yeah.
But it's kind of useful that, especially with your company, you're directly related. So you really get those innovations earlier.
Yeah.
So that's really, really good. Is there anything else, Jason, you'd like to share that you really think is important from Suzuki?
I was going to turn back to Brandon. You should tell about the four-stroke for two-stroke replacement program.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's two things on that. I'll talk about that last because I think that's our newest initiative. That's always good to get out. But, you know, our microplastic collecting device on our engines, that's probably the best thing. Right now, Suzuki is the only engine brand on the water that has something that is actually physically collecting microplastics as you're cruising down the waterway. You know,
that is unbelievable.
Yeah. And it's our 115 and 140 horsepower. You know, when we first started, we wanted to make sure that everybody could take it. And the marine side, we're the biggest part of, you know, the Suzuki Marine. We're the biggest, you know, the market there. And we said, if we're going to do it, we can't charge the customer anymore to do it. So every engine does not get an upcharge because we put a microplastic filter on that 115. It comes exactly with the engine. And the best part is, when you do your 100-hour service, that's when you clean out the microplastics at the dealership. And we created a program with Ocean Plastics that people can actually mail in their microplastics and get a bracelet made for free from Addie and her team at Ocean Plastics because she deals with microplastics. And so just kind of that idea of, hey, you can actually use this, and just kind of a feel-good story on the microplastics itself. And then actually last week, so we were in Minneapolis, I think the second week in January, and we announced our program, but last week we went live with it. So we call it the 442 program. It's four stroke for two stroke. All we're saying is we're helping out our dealers, giving them additional discounts on engines to promote those old two stroke engines to let's get them off the water. Most of the engines, they're not worth anything. And I think that's the reason why somebody's like, well, why would I trade something in if I'm not going to get anything? So we're saying, hey, what we want to do is how about we get these customers to trade in their two-stroke engines, right? We give a little bit more to the dealer so they can pass it on, you know, incentivize the customer to buy that. The next step is we want the dealer to scrap it and donate all the proceeds to an environmental organization of their choice. So now we're getting all of our dealers involved to be, you know, I guess, you know, more environmentally conscious of what's going on around here, because EPA's coming in. I mean, and this is EPA's for us in the US, but worldwide, you know, everybody's going after the environment. Hey, we need to do a better job. So that's just one thing that we can do to have that, you know, to support our dealers where they can actually feel like they're a part of the solution and not the problem.
That's absolutely awesome. That's really great news to bring from Miami Boat Show. That is so good, guys. Jason, anything you want to add?
I think just from the engine technology standpoint, going from carbureted two-stroke to multi-port fuel injected, variable valve time, oxygen sensor feedback control, they are no longer the outboards of the past. We do have a clean outboard. It's good for the environment, and we're constantly working in the future. Another thing coming, Suzuki is in partnership with the MMMA to do this, to work on e-fuels, which would be 100% carbon neutral fuel.
Amazing. Guys, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. It's really good to get the message out to the world that the boating industry is really working hard on this, and we've got this, and therefore hopefully the regulators can just leave us alone to get on with it. Okay. Thanks, guys. Thank good you. To talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I am here on the Yamaha stand at Miami Boat Show, and I am talking to the Chief of Technology, Grant Suzuki of Yamaha Marine USA. Grant, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Nikki.
We're going to talk about your incredible technology and innovation you're doing at Yamaha with your engines. Tell me what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. So we just debuted our world first hydrogen-powered outboard motor prototype at the Miami Boat Show. And we are so excited to bring another option for the cleaner technology. I mean, bringing the marine industry a carbon neutral in the future.
So good. So it's actually a combustion engine, but using hydrogen. Is that right?
Exactly. Yes, that's right. So we are burning hydrogen in our outboard motor engine.
Okay. So hydrogen, obviously, emissions-wise, zero.
Well, yes, that's right. It produces water and NOx, as opposed to the carbon dioxide in a conventional engine.
Okay, so why did Yamaha decide to go down this route?
Oh, that is great.
Where did that come out?
Yeah, so we are pursuing the multiple technology solutions to achieve the carbon neutrality goal by 2050. And hydrogen technology is definitely one of the important technology arm in the spectra, including the alternative fuels, electrification, and hydrogen technologies.
Yeah, so cool. But you guys have been doing a lot of work on engine efficiency before we've got to this hydrogen space, right? You've reduced emissions substantially.
That is also a great point. Yamaha, being the comprehensive marine products company, we are approaching the carbon neutrality from the different aspects, I mean, various aspects, including the hull technology to start with. The more efficient hull brings the better carbon neutrality down the line as a comprehensive approach. And not only the hull technology, and then there are several other technology, including the propeller development, for instance. This is a great example that only the comprehensive marine company can take such an approach to address the carbon neutrality on the long run.
So you've changed the shape of a prop to make it more efficient, or what have you done?
Oh, that's what we do for improving the optimize the prop design for different application, and the efficiency is part of that development objectives in general. So we are addressing that technology developments to achieve the carbon neutrality.
So are you changing the prop for different styles of boats, and is that what you're doing?
That's general practice, yes.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Well, thank you.
I mean, it must be very exciting for you to show this new technology at Miami. What sort of reaction are you getting from people about it?
Oh, I hear a lot of excitement, and we are very proud to be at the forefront of this revolution. We're bringing this prototype for the first time and first in the world, and it's really exciting. And being part of the team at Yamaha, I also see this internal passion in bringing the technology to this world, and really enjoy being here.
Yeah, and I mean, working for a company like this, for Yamaha, it's a big, big progressive company. I know it's quite amusing that you are Grant Suzuki working for Yamaha. So we just might clarify that in the introduction. But how did you get here, Grant? How did you get into this role?
Oh, that's an interesting question. There are lots of interesting turn of events in my career. And I met a lot of interesting people from Yamaha in my previous career before Yamaha, and I simply loved people. I mean, I still love the people working at Yamaha. It's great people here, and that brought me to this company where I'm at now. So
yeah. And what did you study to do this?
Oh, I first started off my career as the physicist working at the university and automotive industry, and stay there for a little bit less than 2 decades, and I joined the marine industry.
Okay, and is there a fundamental difference you see between the automotive industry and the boating industry? We're quite different worlds, aren't we?
Very different and very similar in different perspectives, and certainly the core technologies there are some commonalities in between those two industries, and the application is totally, totally different. And in automotive, for instance, if car goes breaks down and you just pull stop and wait for the rescue or AAA on the roadside, whereas in the marine sector, I mean, you have to bring yourself back home to the dock. So there are some different implication of the safety standards, and for the safety standards, for instance, the ABYC and MMA, they are really leading the whole industry to the pointing us to the right direction. And for instance, Mr. Jeff Wassel from ABYC is a great leader, and bringing us to the pointing us to the right direction in terms of the safety standards.
Yeah, fantastic. And I know Yamaha have always been really good for their reliability, because it's, so you're talking about that piece of, you know, if your boat breaks down, you've got to get home somehow. But well, I've seen all sorts of things on Instagram, you know, when the boat's going down the boat ramp and the props being actually trashed on the ramp, and yet somebody goes, oh, but it's a Yamaha, so it'll be fine. You guys are very well known for your reliability and your sheer, I guess, trust in your engines. With moving into this new space of hydrogen and everything, you've obviously had to work very carefully on that as well, I'm guessing.
Yes, certainly. So we take pride in the reliability. And with the new technology advancement, we reiterate our commitment to environmental stewardship and social accountability. And of course, on top of the safety, safety comes first. So we, whatever we do, we take safety on the very first priority.
Yeah, so important. And reliability is just key in boat engines. So are there any other technologies working on in this space, or we're just focused on hydrogen at the moment, or what's the any future that we can see there?
Yes.
Secrets?
Yeah, certainly, yeah, there are several.
Plenty
very,
of secrets.
Very interesting that we are, I mean, I'm not at liberty to talk about.
Yeah.
But yes, so we are pursuing the multiple technology solutions, including hydrogen, ICE, I mean, hydrogen internal combustion engine. Just we, you know, debuted the prototype. This is the one of the leading edge technology that we're pursuing as part of the multiple technology solution to hit the carbon neutrality by 2050. Yeah. So naturally, there are several pathways forward for us, and we are working hard in pursuing other multiple technologies as well.
Yeah, and I think that's what people need to understand. The boating industry is working hard to actually solve these issues, and it's been very progressive.
Yes, I have a great respect for the other industry leadership. We, I mean, as Yamaha, we really resonate with the voices from the many other industry leadership to bringing us all together to the carbon neutral future.
Mm, yeah, this is an exciting future ahead.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, thank you so much for talking to us, Grant. It's really been a pleasure to talk to you here.
Thank you for having me, Nikki. Thank you.
No, it's been good. Miami Boat Show is a great place to launch such a fantastic technology that moving Yamaha forward in this incredible space.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks, Grant. So I'm still on the Yamaha stand at Miami Boat Show, and I'm talking to Brad Massey about something really important to Yamaha. Tell me about it, Brad.
So conservation, sustainability, they're in the lifeblood of Yamaha. And a few years ago, we really codified that in what we call Yamaha Right Waters. It's a global initiative, and it is in Australia.
Cool.
So at yamaharightwaters.com, and this is the brand that we put all of our carbon neutrality and sustainability efforts under. You know, there's four pillars associated with it. You know, data, better research, invasive species, habitat restoration. So basically, you know, those pillars are the key to what we use. And so what we really want to support is policies, regulations that are good for our customers, good for the environment, but have data and science behind them. And so we take a lot of effort to put money into research. We help out with various organizations as far as for cleanups, artificial reef restoration, those types of things. So it's very important to us. It's vital to us as a company. It's vital to our customers. And it's important to be good stewards of the world.
Well, this is the thing about recreational boating. We have to maintain the environment that we enjoy to keep enjoying what we do. So Yamaha doing that sort of initiative and really being progressive in that is absolutely fantastic. So is that something you involve your clients in it and so on?
So we have partnerships with a lot of different organizations, and we do encourage our customers to get out and be involved. We encourage them to get out and participate in trash cleanups. We encourage them to go to fishery council meetings and have their voice heard. So we encourage them to lobby their representatives here in the United States and in around the world, but here in the US especially, where to talk to their people, their representatives in Congress, to pass laws that are beneficial to both, you know, our fisheries and to the environment, but also remain allow us to still have access. You know, dirty water and those sorts of things do not do anyone any good. And we support the fact that we want access. We want clean water, and we want our customers to be able to go out and enjoy their boats.
Yes, really important part of what recreational boating companies are doing. There's a lot more, I guess, visibility on that issue, isn't there?
Yes. So it's very important. Customers have told us that they want to help. They want to do something and to be a part of the solution. And they are not necessarily looking towards the companies and saying, you do all of the work. The customers want to be involved, and they want to do some of the heavy lifting. What we want to do is be there as a partner with them to provide products, to provide initiatives, to help with the lobbying and any advocacy that is necessary for legislation, regulations, those types of things. We're there to work with our customers, and they're there to work with us.
So good. And do you support any particular charities or space in that space as well?
So Yamaha Right Waters has quite a few partners. I would not be good to tell you how many at this point. It's several dozen partners that we work with. And it is a variety from universities where we're working with carbon sequestration studies and oyster reefs, both in the Gulf of Mexico and the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Georgia. We're working with conservation groups that are working on invasive species, getting rid of invasive species because those are detrimental to different environments. We're working with groups that are doing trash cleanups that are taking hundreds of thousands of pounds of trash out of our waterways and cleaning them up. We're working with all of those people to make sure that we're recovering everything and helping to be a support to them.
Amazing. That's so good. Thank you so much for telling us about that, Brad. It's really important that people understand that, I guess, the boating industry gets this image of being bad users of fuel and all these sorts of things with these big, powerful boats we all have. But in actual fact, we're really keen to look after that beautiful environment we enjoy. And these sorts of initiatives are really doing that. So it's great to hear.
We really are. I mean, we are stewards of the environment. We understand the importance of it. And at least in the United States, you know, it's one of the few industries that taxes itself. So fishing tackle and things like that sold in the United States are directly, those taxes go into our departments of natural resources and help to fund it. So it's a group of people that care enough to tax themselves in order to help pay for making sure that things are taken care of. So that's a group of people that really care, and that's our customers.
That's fantastic. Thanks so much, Brad. Really appreciate your time.
Yes, ma'am.
Good to be here at Yamaha at Miami Boat Show.
Thank you so much.
Hey guys, a little bit of an atmosphere on this one as we stand on the Mercury stand at Miami Boat Show. I am standing with Dan Reich. So I'm going to get him to give you his title because it's a long one.
The Senior Category Manager of Electrification. Yes, it's a mouthful.
Welcome to the podcast, Dan. So tell me, what is Mercury doing in the electrification space?
Yeah, so we've had quite the journey on that space. We've got five outboards that we've announced. We've got three in the market today already. We've got two more coming later this year, the 75 and 110E. We've got the 7.5, the 20, and 35E already in the market. And then also today, we've got our high voltage concept on display. So we've started in the lower horsepower ranges where we see electrification as most feasible, and things are going well.
So those numbers that you're referring to, they're the level of horsepower equivalent, or are they something different?
Nope, we use a little bit different nomenclature with our electric product because the performance is quite different from a traditional gas outboard. So the 20E, for example, represents 2,000 watts at the prop shaft. If you do the straight math, that's going to be 3 horsepower. But overall, that product's going to accelerate more, a lot different than a 3 horsepower traditional motor. So that's why we name it a little bit differently. So 20E, 2,000 watts at the prop shaft, 3 horsepower, can accelerate like a 6.
So where does Mercury see these engines in use? What type of boats do you think they're going to be useful for?
Yeah, so today a lot of our products are being used on smaller entry-level vessels or slower speed applications. So we see them used on inflatables a lot. We have a lot of small micro skiffs, smaller aluminum vessels, pontoons that are slow speed cruisers. Obviously, as we move up in horsepower, those applications start to evolve a little bit into different hull types. But generally, it is going to be, you know, some point A to point B tender types of applications and slower speed moving or regulated bodies of water. Europe is very different. A lot of regulated waterways there, tends to be more fiberglass. But the vessels change a little bit, but overall, the application is very similar.
And what sort of charging time are we looking at for these?
Yep. So we offer a variety of chargers for all of our products, knowing that one of the big challenges is people want to maximize their time on the water. So overall, our charging strategy is to ensure that people can get on the water overnight with a fully recharged battery system. But we do offer chargers that allow people to get back on the water in about 4 to 5 hours as well.
Okay, great stuff. And the one that you have on display here at the stand at Miami Boat Show, tell me about that one.
Which one? We've got
The high voltage one.
The high voltage concept is, we aren't talking too much about it. It really represents kind of Mercury's efforts in those spaces. We've launched or announced 5 products, but that being here, it really means that we're likely not done. We're exploring the bounds that electric products can go, and it's kind of a signal that we've got other things coming in the future.
That's really cool. Yeah, because that's what I think what we need to illustrate as a boating industry as much as possible is we are doing an awful lot to that decarbonization speak. So tell me a little about why you went into this space.
Yeah, so we know that there's a push for more sustainable options in the marine area. There's other benefits to electric technology as well, as far as usability and NVH and the convenience of plugging it in. But, you know, ensuring that boaters have options on regulated waterways is critical for us. It's a great experience for individuals on this product. And from a sustainability perspective, it goes beyond just our electrification efforts. We've got efforts, you know, building life cycle analysis into our product development process, ensuring we know where those materials are coming from and understanding the overall life cycle of that product. We're also, you know, upgrading our facilities and making sure that we've got providing the energy to those facilities that in a renewable fashion as well. So sustainability is really built into our product strategy across the board. It's not just electric. Electric does enable us to pursue more sustainable boating applications in smaller vessels, and we're going to continue to see that grow over time.
So in other words, different boats need different things.
Agreed. You probably heard me use the analogy of golf clubs the other day. I don't go to the golf course with one club in the bag. You tend to have 13 for the different situations, and we know different vessels require different types of power, and we've got to support them in different ways. And from a sustainability perspective, it likely means a variety of different solutions.
Very cool. Anything else you can share with us from the Mercury space in terms of innovations and what the future holds?
No, we're always working on things. Generally, we don't talk about what's coming in the future. I think this is an opportunity where we are showcasing future product. I'd say that, you know, we're always pursuing products that are going to improve people's experience on the water. And you can expect us to continue to do that going into the future.
I guess one thing we didn't cover is range and an amount of time that somebody can expect out of those electric motors. That's going to vary across the different motors, but can you give us some ideas of that?
Yeah, you bet. So we know range is always the biggest question people have when they make the leap into the electric space. It's how long is it going to run? We size our batteries with our outboards to give you at least 1 hour of wide open throttle. We know most people don't use their outboards that way. So as you back off on throttle, you can extend range to 2 to 3 hours at 75% throttle or up to 5 to 6 hours at 50% throttle. And then we offer a variety of battery solutions that can extend range as well. So if people want to have that peace of mind or are planning to go longer distances, they can package up to 4 batteries on our 20 and 35E system, or you can bring an extra battery along with our 7.5E today. So there is, we have a variety of options to overcome some of those range concerns that, that people might have.
And what sort of customer is buying these electric motors?
We actually have quite a variety. You know, obviously there's, it's application dependent. So we see a lot of tender applications that are being paired with larger vessels, regulated waterways where people really see electric as the best option for them. And then we see a lot of young and old consumers looking for the product because they're either gravitating to it because it's kind of their lifestyle, or they see it as a product that's going to be easier to maintain and easier to use.
And I guess a bit quieter as well.
What was that?
A bit quieter as well. That was good. Yeah. That was good timing. I said a bit quieter and you said, what?
Yeah, you know, that's an element that is assumed when you enter into this space. The quiet operation is amazing. I actually operate our 7.5E in a micro skiff, and my kids ride in the front, and we sneak up on turtles. So it's a very different experience from that standpoint, and the quietness is definitely a positive factor.
Although I have to say, we've got Mercurys on the back of our Freedom Boat Clubs in Australia, and they are pretty quiet.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, NVH, noise, vibration, harshness is in our DNA. Our gas outboards are extremely quiet. Electric kind of takes that to the next level.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for talking to us, Dan. We've learned a lot about what Mercury is up to. Anything we've missed, we need to share.
No, thanks for having a chat. Love it.
Thanks, Dan. You can advertise your business right here on the Boat Princess podcast. We have a worldwide audience of around 31,000 listeners a month of boaters and those in the boating industry. Contact us at the Boat Princess. We'd love to hear from you. Take care of yourselves, everyone, and hopefully we'll see you on the water soon.